broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everyone, to another amazing hour of the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. We are very excited to be with you today. Hope you're enjoying the holiday season, as am I, and I'm sure Mark is too.
Yeah, I'm having a great time. I love this time of year, man, from Halloween through Thanksgiving, Christmas. It's
Christmas,
a busy time.
Christmas lights up yet?
No. Yeah. I've got a tree up.
Okay.
I've got the tree up. Outside lights. That's another battle for another day. This is kind of, many of you may not know this, but this is literally in our law firm and accounting firm, almost the busiest time of the year. You might think, well, it's April 15th or, you know, tax time, October 15th. Guys, year-end planning. Oh, if you want to save taxes, this is the time. And So many clients are like, I need 30 minutes. I need 20 minutes. I need to do this. Or am I doing paying my kids? Am I doing 401k? What should my salary be? Oh, the list goes on and on. And
shutting down a business, setting up a new company for the next year, getting your solo 401k set up before December 31st, all this stuff. I mean, it all
healthcare. Don't even bring up the two words, healthcare.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's just,
by the way, you've got, what is it, till December 15th. Just a little side note here, December 15th, if you're in the individual market to select your plan.
Yeah. My wife hates this time because I'm like, it's the holidays now. And I'm like, oh, working more nights than ever. Seriously, this is like tax season and legal season for us. And so now I don't want to dissuade anyone from giving us a call. You know, I mean, if you need to get your entity, don't think we're too busy for you. It's all hands on deck. In fact, many of our employees complain. Literally, we tell employees, you only get Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and Thanksgiving weekend off. That's it. No, we want to encourage all of our employees to take time off throughout the year. December is all hands on deck. So
yeah, and we got some awesome employees here, as many of you know. And on a little segue there, today's topic actually is about finding, hiring, and firing employees in today's current business climate. I mean, you got to master each of those if you're going to be successful in your business.
You do. And on the cusp of the, I'm going to say it, and I hope I don't offend someone, but you know, that's my style, is usually I don't offend someone. But it's like a Salem witch hunt out there. Man, Andrew Lack fires Matt Lauer today. Wow. For sexual harassment. I mean, it's like crazy. I'm waiting for someone to walk in my office and fire me, but I don't. Maybe Matt's going to come in and go, it's time for you to leave.
Yeah, dude.
It's crazy.
You got a clean slate. I mean, that is crazy. We're going to talk about firing. And by the way, if you have to fire someone for hopefully something not sexual misconduct related, hopefully it's, poor performance, or maybe they stink or something. I don't know. But that's, obviously a very heavy topic, sexual misconduct or harassment. And but I got to say, with the Matt Lauer, I was shocked when I saw that, because you don't see it in that guy, some of the other people that I've heard in the news. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, all right. Some of these clowns in Hollywood in particular, I was like, okay, yeah, I can see it. But Lauer, I was pretty shocked. And I have to say, the fact that he didn't get on probation or suspension or anything, it was just like straight canned. He probably admitted to it, or there was overwhelming evidence that there was something pretty bad that happened.
Yeah, I was just going to say something pretty bad. And we're going to talk about now through the show. We seriously are going to try to do our best to get through three major topics. And that's, we've got a special guest, Adam Bornstein, joining us on how to find and hire the right person, which is a key issue. I mean, a lot of your problems can get solved just hiring the right person to begin with. And then we're going to talk about the technical process of hiring, employee handbooks, things to have on hand so that you stay out of hot water. And then third, if you do need to fire someone, do you have the right protocol in place from literally the get-go. I mean, they're all intertwined.
Yeah.
As much as they seem like three different topics.
Yeah.
So
we'll try and walk you through it. There's a lot of implications, obviously, just from a business standpoint, management standpoint, legal issues you got to wade through. So we'll try and steer you on the right course. But before we get into that topic, we do have some tax and legal tips we want to share with you. In this giving time, we want to give you some tax and legal tips, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I was leaning on a legal tip this week. I know Matt's got a good tax one. I actually got this tip a couple of days ago and thought, I got to bring this up on the show. We're going to talk about sexual harassment in the workplace. I was with Matt riding mountain bikes in Phoenix. And at the end of our bike ride, he slapped me on the butt. And I just need to bring that up. I did not feel good about that, Matt. And
yeah, I didn't either, actually, after I was
Yeah, my wife says things like that to me.
Definitely a mistake.
Yeah, you're like, oh, that didn't go well. Yeah, it was kind of anticlimactic for both of us. Bad move there. So now maybe that was acceptable, you know, slapping your business partner's butt after a good bike ride. But I would not recommend that, you know, for you to do that with the opposite sex, and certainly not an employee. Even, you know, give them a high five, but. You know, yeah. Let's save the butt slapping for the guys in the locker room, maybe. That's probably even a problem. What can you do anymore?
Is this your tip?
No, this is not my tip. I'm just screwing around. Okay. All right. Give us a jingle. This is a legal tip.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Okay. Now, after all that messing around and making sure this show is at least somewhat edutainment, my legal tip is actually quite serious, and it's really a good one. I mean, it was an emotional phone call I had with this client earlier this week. I even told him, I said, I might share your story on the radio show. Would that be okay? And of course, with the caveat, I would not share his name or even what state he's from. I didn't want to do that, but this was a real life consult from just 2 days ago. Client calls me up, says, Mark, I'm fixing and flipping properties. I'm doing real estate. It's really going well. I'm killing it. Financially things are better than they've ever been. But 2 years ago, I started out with a fix and flip, and it was my first one out of the gate. I was new to the business, and I partnered with this guy, and I said, let's do an LLC. And our office actually set up the LLC. And he goes, he put in 200 grand. I said, I'd do all the work. We were 50-50, and we're going to split this rehab fix and flip project. And it was all hunky dory. We're good to go. And then he said, Mark, I actually lost my shirt on that. I lost money on it. I lost the entire 200 grand and more. And I go, okay. And he goes, I haven't told him. And I go, what? You haven't told him? What did you do? And he goes, well, I just paid him from profit from other projects and said, hey, this went well and this went well. And I just tried to keep him happy. And he goes, it's ruined my marriage. I'm getting divorced now because I felt like I couldn't tell this partner. And he knew from the beginning there was risk, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't tell him. And I go, now hold it. Have you taken money from other people and given it to him from that? And he goes, no. It's not a Ponzi scheme. So I was crisis averted there, you know, no Bernie Madoff situation or other stories that many of you know about. So he wasn't taking, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul. He wasn't taking new money from people and creating this snowball effect. But he was taking profits from what he and his wife were trying to do in business and paying off this guy and not telling him. And I said, okay, so anyway, to make a long story short, we spent an hour on the phone going through a very emotional meeting of what to do next. He had consulted a defense criminal type attorney. He was scared about that. I told him, don't worry, you're fine, you know, on that issue. But let's get clean. But he had actually – I said, well, what did you do for taxes? He goes, Mark, that's why I'm calling you. I'm working with your team about getting my taxes done for the last 2 years. I've never filed the LLC tax return. And I didn't, I was embarrassed to tell your team members what to do. I need you in the middle of all this. And I'm like, okay. And I go, well, how did this guy file his taxes? Well, I created fictitious K-1s, and I just gave him K-1s, but they're not legit. And I'm like, what? So this guy has no clue. He's been filing his taxes. Anyway, at the end of the day, we figured out a way to make sure that it's right with the IRS. It's going to be right with this guy. And he did come up with 200 grand that he saved up, and he's going to give him his 200 back. He's going to let him keep, and he's going to tell him, I lost your money, but I paid you back. And he sacrificed his marriage in 2 years of a lot of no sleep. So moral of the story, and he, you know, there's several morals to the story here, but one that he said at the end in literally in a very emotional manner was like, Mark, I just wish I would have called you a year and a half ago. Because when I started to tell him the solution, he's like, hold it. You mean we can do this and do that? I go, yeah. And you could just see this huge, you could feel it, this huge burden coming off his shoulders. And he'd been living with this, not telling anyone out of fear he was going to go to jail. And I'm like, dude, you're not going to jail. We're going to make this good. This kind of stuff happens. People lose money in deals without stealing money. Anyway, bottom line, it may not be me or Matt or someone on our team, but you might even end up getting a couple opinions, but get a third party legal consultation with someone when something's starting to go bad. Don't wait 2 years to try to let it snowball it out of control. So anyway, I told him I was so proud of him for his integrity, trying to make it good, and that he stood up and took care of this situation, but it had a lot of collateral damage. Anyway, there's my legal tip.
Man, that's some deep stuff.
It was deep.
That's a good tip though. It's sad to hear those stories, but I think helpful for others to hear it. I think sadly a lot of people who make a mistake or they get into a bad situation, they do dumb things to try and avoid having to deal with it, or they put it off and it only gets worse and worse and worse. You know, rather than coming clean at the very beginning, say, here's the numbers on how this deal went bad, and just saying, you know what, but I just as for this person, they had the integrity anyways, but just come clean with it and say, I'm going to work and pay you back nonetheless. You know, because I feel bad about how it went. That was my part of the deal. I was going to, you know, run this, and I didn't perform. So, and that's doing more than he probably had to. So, I love that. That's, God, you got me thinking. I could give a million tips off.
I know we could do a whole show on this right now. I know. Yeah. Right. So, but anyway, that's why this show is so powerful for you, the listener, is we're coming from all different angles. And now we got a cool tax tip from the man, the myth, the legend, Matt Sorensen.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right. Well, it's that time of year for many things. But one other thing it's also for is thinking about your retirement plan contributions. And right now we've been doing a lot of solo 401ks for clients. That's a great retirement plan for those who are self-employed with no other employees. You can put up to $54,000 a year into that, way better than an IRA. You can self-direct it, buy real estate, all the cool stuff we love. So we have lots of clients who use these solo 401ks, but the tip I want to give is there's two important deadlines you got to understand. And I've got a blog article on this on my site, sdirahandbook.com, that brings all the detail together. But two deadlines. First, if you want to make solo 401k contributions for 2017, you have to have the solo 401k set up in 2017. All right. Now this is different for IRAs. If you want to make an IRA contribution, you get until April 15th. Even if you didn't even have an IRA set up in 2017, you can still on March 1st of 2018, you could make a 2017 IRA contribution. And a lot of people have been used to that, but you can't do that for a solo 401k if the 401k is not set up in 2017.
And Matt, let me add, if I may, because this, again, opens such a Pandora's box. You could even do a SEP next year up until September 15th, October 15th, frankly, on a Schedule C. So, I mean, you could be doing a SEP contribution anytime next year. But we literally have articles written, I screwed up and had to do a STEP, because a SEP means you're going to pay a lot more in self-employment tax. So this 401k has an ancillary benefit on the saving of SE tax. So don't think, oh, well, Matt, you just said I can wait and do an IRA or a SEP. I'll just do that. What? That comes with consequences. So anyway, Matt, I love your first point there. Keep going.
So get it set up by December 31st, 2017. We have our special for solo 401ks, which we're running for another week. That gives you $200 off setting up a solo 401k. We're doing them in our office every day right now. Let us know if we can help get that set up for you in 2017. Now, the second tip I want to give is, when do you contribute? See, as long as you have it set up in 2017, you get to contribute up until the tax return deadline in 2018. So you actually get additional time to make the contribution. So I can be making the contribution in 2018, again, as long as it was set up in 2017. Now, this is your company return deadline, and it also includes extensions. So you could be having up until September 15th or October 15th, depending on your type of company and if you file an extension. So as long as you get it set up. So if you're planning about it, thinking about it, get it set up in 2017. That'll allow you to make 2017 contributions.
And Matt, could I add a third deadline issue?
Yes.
Is that flexibility that Matt just mentioned in point number two of being able to contribute anytime next year. That, again, comes with a caveat that you've issued your W-2 for an S-Corp, and you've indicated how much you're going to contribute, and then that contribution can come later, and the match can come later, but you still have to earmark it by January 15th-ish. So in the next 6 weeks, any of you out there that are S-Corp owners, and that's many, many of our listeners, you've got to nail down your payroll amount and be thinking, ooh, what am I going to do as a 401k even next year? But I got to put it on my W-2 now. And so this is why at the beginning of the show, when I say things are a little crazy around here for the next 5 weeks, is because everybody's like, I got to talk about this. What do I do? You know, so all of our CPAs and attorneys are up to speed on this. So you don't have to talk to just Matt and I. Get a consult for a half an hour. It'll be well worth it. So.
All right. Well, let's get into the topic at hand.
Now, Matt, before the topic at hand, one last tax point. So next week, which will be, I think we're going to do it December. I want to get the right date here. It's going to be Thursday next week, December 7th. I'm going to be doing a 1 hour webinar. That's typically a paid for webinar throughout the year, every month. But I'm going to do it free next month. Access for that webinar only, free for others. You won't get access to all the recorded webinars. But next Wednesday at 4 p.m. Mountain, we're going to be doing a free year-end tax planning webinar for an hour and go through all the little tax tips you should be thinking about. Now, it won't be tailored to your situation. That consult still is important to set up. But to get your juices flowing so you can have a more productive planning meeting, even with your own advisor and your own area, wherever you're at, and you got some Yahoo that you're bringing along, and you're getting the training and then training them. It happens all the time. Next Thursday, December 7th, you'll be able to watch live a webinar from a computer screen with webcam. And to get access to it, it's free. Just make sure you open the newsletter this coming Tuesday. And that newsletter typically goes out every Tuesday morning. That's on the 5th. Look for that and your link will be there, which is a good reminder. If you want to sign up for our newsletter and you haven't, get over to refreshyourwealth.com, our podcast website, and you can sign up for the newsletter and get access to all that and more. So,
all right. Well, now's the time. Let's talk finding, hiring, and firing employees in today's business climate. All right. Well, our special guest who we are interviewing here in a new way for the Refresh Wealth Show is Adam Bornstein. He's the New York Times bestselling author and founder of Pen Name Consulting. He's got a monthly column in Entrepreneur Magazine called What's Your Problem? It's kind of like a modern day Dear Abby for entrepreneurs. You can ask your business questions. And
just business questions. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Just, limit it to the entrepreneurial questions. Adam's got to stay in his lane. But Adam's been writing frequently on how to hire and interview people to employees in your business. So we wanted to get his insights on today's show. Now, technical warning here. And this is a Matt Sorensen problem, I think. I think it was my fault. We had some technical problems in his recording. So Mark and I are going to do the next best thing and summarize his comments, which were excellent, and then we'll get to the comments Mark and I want to talk about as well.
Yeah, and Adam gave some excellent points, and we're going to summarize those. And we'll also give his links to his website and his annual conference that he does for entrepreneurs. That's just fantastic. We're going to put those in the newsletter. For those of you, of course, catching the newsletter every week, we highlight the prior week show, and so you can get some links. So if you're driving your car today, don't worry about those links. They'll be in the newsletter. So Adam, his first point, which I liked, which I think Matt kicked off in with a question as to where do you find good employees? Where do you go to look for employees now? Is it a particular website or something? And Matt, why don't you highlight his answer? I was kind of surprised with his answer.
Yeah, I thought he gave a pretty insightful answer, which is don't underestimate your own network. And as a lot of us know, and this is some points Adam's made, was as you're out there hiring and looking for employees, you're trying to find people that obviously have the right skills for the job you're hiring for, but that also fit into your company culture and, you know, your personality as the business owner and your management style. And so if you work with people you already know, who already know you, who you already like, and they already like you, that's usually going to make working together easier. You're a known quantity to them, they're a known quantity to you. And so using that existing network of people you already know is a great place to make sure you get someone who's going to fit well within your company.
I thought that was insightful because he said their resume might look great. And their work history, their personality in the interview might be great, but has your network told them what your culture is really like? Has your network told you what their personal lifestyle is really like? And your network can kind of be that check and balance for you that you can't get through a resume and even two or three interviews. And so I thought that was really insightful, you know, and that's why I think a lot of people say, hey, if you want a job, start with your network, first of all, because they may be able to point you to, has anybody ever said to you, hey, you would be great at that firm. You know, you would be great at that company. You're a perfect fit for that. I think Matt, I joke about Matt's wife because I think she's wonderful. Catherine is amazing. And Catherine works at Lululemon. And Matt has often said, dude, Lululemon was made for her. Like that, yeah. You know, I mean. And I think in a network, you can tell people that you should really apply there sort of thing. Has anyone ever said that? And that's what Adam's point was. I thought that was good.
Yeah. And now, Mark, you asked him about kind of hiring that employee, like that first employee or the assistant maybe. And, you know, I know a lot of our listeners are, you know, they're the solo entrepreneurs. They're getting started up and dealing with running the business, trying to do everything and how to hire that first employee or assistant. And so I'll let you kind of give the answers of what you thought was insightful and what he said there.
Yeah. And I give credit to the book Good to Great. I think that's where it's at. If not, I'll give him credit for that. Is that the first thing you want to do to go from good to great is hire an assistant because it can deal with all that inbound traffic and craziness that can come at you every day. And that assistant can help you take care of those things that could be a distraction so you could be far more productive. And so I started with that and I said, Adam, do you agree when you go out to hire, if you're, and we know many of our listeners have a lot of employees and other listeners are just maybe solopreneurs right now looking for that first employee. And he said, you know what, Mark, I agree with that for many people that having an assistant is a good first move because they have too many distractions. They need to be more hyper-focused and the assistant can let them do that. But he said for other people, hire an assistant, they can put them in a chair and then they have nothing to do. And he said, I like the approach of looking at where are the needs in your business? Like what is the biggest distraction? Maybe it's not an assistant per se, but it's some other place in your business where if that was taken care of and you have something for them immediately to do, that your stress would be less and you could be more productive. And again, I thought that was a very interesting comment.
Yeah. And I think he also talked about kind of hiring some of your first employees and as you're growing your business, you want to focus on hiring new employees to address things you're already good at. One of the mistakes he said some people make is they'll hire a new employee and say, oh, I'm just terrible at this part of the business or this area of the market that we're in. And we really need to be better at that. So you hire a new person to do that. And then that person starts and they're like, all right, what do I do? Like, but because you're not good at it, you don't know. And you got some new person there, they're not going to be great at it. And so It's best to hire new people, I think, and was his comment, to that are going to work in what you're already good at, and you know, put more effort into what you're already good at. And I think if you're trying to address weaknesses, maybe try and develop those more internally, where people could possibly cross over between what you're already doing and good at, and try and develop something or you know, fix a weakness in your business. But I think bringing in an outsider to fix something you're weak at is probably one of the hardest things to do. I think it's very unlikely that they're going to succeed.
Yeah. And it was so cool. I thought that was a great point. And then Matt, you, I think one of your final questions of Adam was about, and thanks everybody again for allowing us to relay this to you third party. We had so many technical difficulties, with his, interview, and we didn't want to bother him again. Such a busy guy with so many things going on. So I know that we're relaying his concepts, very accurately. The other thing that Matt, I thought you asked, which was good, was how do you, what are the indicators that this person's going to be a good fit during that interview, during that review process? It's hard to have that kind of sixth sense of, oh, this is the one, you know, and what have you done, Adam? And I thought, again, he was kind of funny in his answer.
Yeah. You know, his answer was you learn by trial and error, essentially. And that, you know, you just have to go through that process of trying to get that right feel for the person. And, you know, we talked about, you know, I think every company, when you're hiring first for a position, you're looking, all right, do they have the skills to do this particular job that they're applying for? And then second, are they a good fit? You know, are they going to fit well into the company? And so once as you're interviewing for that, though, I mean, you might be getting a good feel on both those indicators. And I have, as I've interviewed, and I, you know, as I've interviewed people, sometimes I'm like, man, this person's going to be great. And then I hire them and they're not. And, you know, we've had some great hires. We have some amazing employees in our office right now, like the best we've ever had. But I've made some bad hires over the years. I'm just, you know, and some that I was like, for sure, I was like all in on them and I thought they were going to be excellent and they were total zeros. And so, but it's hard to get that. You're just going to make mistakes along the way. You know, and one of the things I thought about too, Mark, was Tony Bass, who we've interviewed before on Hiring for Your Business, said something that I've always remembered from our last interview with them was always be hiring. And, you know, particularly if you're in a service business, always be hiring, because, you know, if the right person comes along, grab them when they come along. You know, you always be hiring. I thought that was such a great comment, to make sure you're getting the right people, because sometimes you're hiring at in a time of stress. You know, you got an employee leaving, you have too much business to take on and you're stressed out, and you know, those are opportunities where you make, unfortunately, wrong hires.
Yeah. And I thought the one question he asked that he asked people in interviews that was interesting is when he said, hey, how would you beat me if you were my competitor? What would you do differently? And he goes, you find out real quick if they understand your business. You know, do they have, or do they, you know, they want to work at your company. You know, I saw your website, but when you say, how would you beat me? You know, mm-hmm. He goes, then you see if they're passionate about what they do. Cause he goes, I want them to be excited about the pay and bought in, but are they bought into what we're trying to do? Are they bought into like making us better? And it's true. Someone that's interviewing for a receptionist job, they're like, I'd answer the phone better. Okay, cool. Whatever it is, you know, what would you do different here to beat us? You know, I mean, somewhere else, if you were to beat us at the role you're going to be playing. So that was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. And, you know, it's funny. I got thinking when he gave that answer about, I had this one interview I was doing for a job in our office, and the woman I was interviewing, I said, so did you go to our website or learn anything about our company before you came today? And she's like, oh, yes, I tried to get on the website, but my computer crashed at my home when I was doing it. And she's like, I'm always terrible with computers. They always crash on me. I was like, oh, it's not a good sign. I was like, all right, I'm going to pretend to ask you two more questions that I am not going to listen to your answers on. Just, you know, let's get this interview over with. But
yeah, you know, when I hear now my computer crashed, that's like, you know, 50 years ago. Yeah, my dog ate the homework, maybe right. 20 years ago, you know.
Yeah,
my dog ate it. Yeah. Oh, you really have that aggressive of a dog. But my computer crashed. Really? You don't have a phone. You don't have an iPad. You don't have a laptop.
Look up our website on your phone, maybe.
You could stop at the library on the way over. There's about a computer within 50 feet of me at all times that I could have looked at. Yeah. But anyway, those are – well, anyway, on our website, we'll give out Adam's contact info. On our newsletter, we'll give out his contact info. They do an incredible job helping people with multiple marketing platforms and managing that, helping businesses grow to the next level. And his annual conference, you'll want to hear about that. So call 212. So Matt, let's talk about some of the legal – hey, since we are a tax and legal show, we got to hit it. So I want to hit some of these legal issues, especially with this business climate right now. That's why we put that in the title of the show. How do you fire someone or –
yeah.
What type of expectations are you setting? It's tough.
Well, let's go through just the hiring process, I think, first. And then as we've been talking about, kind of hit a couple legal points I want to address there. And then let's talk about the unfortunate but inevitable. If you're in business, you're going to have to fire someone someday, whether you like it or not. So, and some people Donald Trump, they like it. They made a whole TV show on that. So, all right, let's talk about hiring and what you need to have when you're hiring. Now, there's going to be some tax forms you're going to need to complete, and get information from your employees. Obviously, you're going to be doing payroll at this point. But from a legal standpoint, there's a couple of critical things you need to understand. The first thing you want to have is an employee handbook. All right, and if for you out there that have employees already, this might be something you want to look at again. If you're hiring your first employee, you're going to need to have this. Why? How does the employee know what your holiday schedule is? How do they know your vacation policy, your sick time policy? How do they know who to call or talk to if there's an issue with their job or their work? I mean, all these little things, those are in your employee handbook. And they set the expectation or for everyone who's an employee in your business on how certain things are handled when it comes to employee responsibility.
Yeah, and let me give you a practical example out there. For all of you that have teenagers, this is a perfect example, because when you go to discipline that teenager, this happens to me all the time, you never said that. That wasn't the rule. That's not what we promised or you said would happen. No. And you get in this big fight. I have often believed that a good parent of teenagers should have a family handbook. It's on the wall, it's printed, it's by the TV, and it says, here are the rules. If you're not in by midnight, I don't care what the excuse is, you're grounded. And it's in writing, and it's clear. Well, it's the same thing with employees. Not only do you want them to excel, and here's your duties that you need to accomplish, but you can't discipline them or fire them later with cause if you don't have everything spelled out accurately. So it's not only a legal protection for you, but it's also a productive issue. You want them to know what to do and what not to do. And this is classic with teenagers in your life. It's classic with employees. Well, you never told me that. What the hell? We talked about it.
Yeah.
Put it in writing.
Exactly. And it's good communication. Even me, I have to look for our companies. I have to go to our employee handbook to look them up. What's the policy on this? How do we handle that? I go there because I want to make sure that I'm communicating exactly what's said in there, which is what the expectation is. And the other thing I want to say with that is make sure when you have an employee handbook, and maybe some of you have pulled one off the web somewhere and threw your company name into it, and you're just going off of what up someone threw out there. Have a look, take a thoughtful analysis of it, maybe take it to lunch one day or just take an hour in the afternoon or evening and just go through it and think about, are these policies how I would really want to do something? Or I just get stuck with something I pulled off the web, because you want to have some thought put into how you're developing these policies and how you want, you're basically, this is kind of like, you say your family handbook, it's kind of like your owner's manual for your business. Cause your business is successful because of the people that are in it.
Yeah. And Matt, let me just interject. Sorry. Yeah. This is where everything's so intertwined, because in about 2 minutes here, we're going to start talking about how to fire someone. Well, you can't freaking fire them if you don't have this stuff laid out in advance. It's, often we got to quote a movie in every episode. So I'm going to quote Jerry Maguire. Help me help you. Help me help you. When Cuba Gooding Jr. was trying to tell – no, this is Tom Cruise telling Cuba Gooding Jr., you got to help me. Right. So this is just like what we talked about 2 weeks ago on our show on rental properties. If you don't have a good rental agreement, how in the heck are we going to enforce an eviction if you don't have a decent rental agreement. Well, how are you going to enforce production and motivation and good things and also deal with bad things with employees if you don't have it in writing? And one term that Matt and I have used for years, we were taught this through some employment training, was hatting. We call it hatting. Like, mm-hmm. think of a hat on your head. What is your hat? What hat do you wear? And so this is a very common business principle for those in business management, hatting. So not only do you give them the employee handbook, but you turn around and give them on a sheet of paper or an email, here are your duties. Here's where you will excel. Here's how you get bonused. Here's how we can reward you. Here are your monthly goals. And all of our employees in our firm have that. We see successful clients all the time have that hatting statement along in conjunction with the employee handbook.
Yeah. And that's basically, that hatting is what's building out your org board. You know, this is your organizational diagram of your business, who does what, how things function and operate together. And so, so really important. Now, let's talk about employment contracts and kind of the legal standard of when you're hiring someone here, Mark. And I think, you know, most states are going to have this at will, and, you know, we got, you know, we're addressing 50 states here and the territories and District of Columbia. So yeah. I know there's a lot of caveats to this, but most states are what is called at will, which means I can hire you and fire you for any reason I want. So if, so your employment with me, once I hire you, is at will. And if, you know, if I can fire you for no, any reason, a bad
reason. As long
reason,
as it's not. Yeah, as long as it's not discriminatory, which we'll come to. But in fact, Matt, if I can throw in the word just cause or no cause.
Yes.
Yeah. And let me say this. Across the board in all states, you can fire anyone for just cause. And we'll talk about unemployment claims here in a moment. Yeah, as long as it's not.
Just cause would not be discriminatory, right?
Yeah, yeah. So if you got just cause to fire an employee, we'll talk about the procedures here in a moment. But just cause is cool. If you just want to fire someone because you're downsizing or you don't like the way they look or smell or something and it's not discriminatory, that's where there are states. There could be this implied contract issue. There could be good faith and fair dealing. Mm-hmm. You know, Matt Lauer might say to Andrew Leck, hey, you can't fire me. And it may come to find out he never did sexually harass this woman in their organization on the Today Show. We don't know yet. But presuming it was for just cause, he can fire Matt Lauer on the spot because he violated the employee handbook. In fact, the Today Show statement read by Savannah Guthrie this morning. I'm a big fan of Savannah and Matt. I'm so sad mm-hmm. about this. I don't know how I'm going to function.
Mark watches the mornings. Today Show every morning, guys. This is rough.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, gosh.
This is hard to do. Really, I know.
Yeah, this is really hard. So, But Savannah was, she was breaking up. She was in tears and she read the statement that said he violated the employee handbook. He broke our principles at our company on the Today Show. He is fired. So that we had just cause. But if there was not cause or it's found out that there wasn't just cause, then Matt Lauer might be able to, and New York is one of those states where he could file a lawsuit that there was an implied contract. I'm sure his employment contract's a hefty one too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we had an implied contract, you were going to pay me for the year 2017, you owe me. And people can make those claims. But again, for just cause in all states, you're going to be fine. I don't know, Matt, I beat that up probably too much. Mm-hmm. Thoughts on that? I don't know. Maybe hit the discriminatory issue.
Yeah, yeah. So here's a word of caution. And as you're out there looking at discrimination laws, which are – there are a number of laws like the Equal Employment Act or the Americans with Disabilities Act. Or there's a number of these laws that are federal laws that only govern if you have a certain amount of employees. So you may have to have 15 employees or 50 employees or 25 under some of these federal laws in order for them to apply. But don't be confused. Just because a federal discrimination law doesn't apply to your business – doesn't mean you can go discriminate against people based on race or gender or age and say, oh, I'm going to fire this person. They're too old. You know, okay. You're going to still likely have a state legal claim in your state. Your state may have a statute. And also there's going to be state common law typically, which is going to protect them from you firing for some discriminatory reason like that. So because of that, you don't want to just, you know, if you get online and you're saying, oh, I don't have 50 employees. I can fire people for being too old, or I can fire someone because of their race. No. You still need to make sure you're avoiding some of those anti-discriminatory reasons for firing, even though those federal laws may not apply.
Yeah, and the list is getting longer and longer every year. I mean, what was in the news all day yesterday? Transgender. And then it's just like one thing after another. And so some people are afraid, and some people have thrown up their arms, say, I'm not going to hire anyone. No, don't go that crazy. Don't let the pendulum swing the other direction too far. But as long as you're reasonable, and this is where a lot of people do consult with us as lawyers and say, hey, I've got to let this employee go. And we find, okay, is it for just cause? Have you documented it? Maybe this is the segue to get into that, but be careful with sexual orientation, pregnancy, citizenship, disability, religion, color, race, gender, national origin. Oh my gosh, the list just goes on and on. And so what you want to do is have that hat. Here's the list of what you're supposed to do at work. Here's our employee handbook. Don't be smoking weed in the lunchroom. Don't be bringing a gun to work. You know, be slapping everybody's butt in the hallway. You know, here's our rules. You know, have it very clear. And once you have that list, then here's where the – can I get into the firing, Matt, right now?
Yeah.
Okay. I know you've got a list on how to fire in the actual moment thereof.
Yeah. And here's – here's where I would want to make one caveat before you get on this, right, is as an employer, one other thing you have to think about in this process is if you have someone who harasses people that is a problem in your workplace, you can face a lawsuit from one employee in your business who's a good employee that may be being mistreated, okay? Think of this employee in the Matt Lauer case, whoever it is, that went to NBC and said – and probably said, I've got a legal claim against you, NBC, if you don't do something right. So you have an obligation not only to protect, you know, to deal with that person, but it's protecting yourself too and your other employees by, you know, executing on some of these things that if someone's toxic in your workplace for whatever reason, whether it's sexual harassment or they're just abusive, verbally abusive or mean or whatever it may be, you know, that's something that can create a quote-unquote hostile work environment for your other employees, and now you've got a responsibility to really act and you know, go down this firing procedure here that we're going to outline.
Yeah. And so the first step in that firing procedure, which Matt said at the beginning of the show he was a little shocked and surprised about, is that Matt Lauer wasn't suspended.
Yeah.
Now, if someone said he was suspended, there's an allegation, and
maybe there's an investigation, then, I would have thought, or some.
Yeah. I mean, and that's typical where there's a probation period. Now, because it's to the Today Show and it's so visual and all that, they've got a different way of doing things. But in the average business, now this keeps you – now, let me give you an important point here, folks. I've been to court on this very issue, and Mark Kohler goes to court very few and far between.
This is the early days.
This is the early days of Mark Kohler, you know, going to court. But I had a client that I represented on multiple unemployment claims. So folks, you pay for state unemployment. And if your rate goes up because you're firing too many people, that can cost you a lot of money. So if you have a call center or a large organization, when you terminate people, you don't want to get stuck with paying unemployment claims because it drives up your rates that can cost you thousands of dollars down the road. So, when you do terminate someone, you want to follow a process. Now, that process typically means you do a write-up. And some of you may have been on listening today, been on one end or the other of this process. But you're going to get this write-up experience where you sit down with someone and go, and there's always someone else in the room, and it's put in writing, and it says, hey, you've been doing X wrong. You either have not been performing your job the way we agreed to, you've been rude to customers, you've been rude to other employees, whatever the issue is, whatever those rules in the handbook or their specific hatted duties are, you're going to say you are not performing and you are now on probation. Now, the best way to win an unemployment claim is to document this and to have at least two probationary periods. So you meet with them once, you give them a couple weeks or a week, and then you meet with them again in 2 weeks and go, okay, you're not doing it, or you're good. You want to let them know this probation period is now over, or you're on your second strike. And then when you go to the third strike and do terminate them and they go file for unemployment, you can go, we are not paying unemployment. We gave this bozo plenty of chances to change and improve, and they did not. and you document the meetings. You have your witness there, and I won every one of those claims. Those were slam dunks. But if you don't follow that process, then your unemployment rate can go up, and it can cost you big time. Now, are you going to get into a lawsuit for firing this person without just cause? No, we just went through this. You had just cause to fire them. Fire them tomorrow. I don't care. But if you don't follow this process, you might pay unemployment rates that are much higher. See, they're two different things, people. I'm not saying you can't fire someone with this process. You can fire them tomorrow. Go in there right now and say, you're fired, to quote our president. But you might want to take a more precautionary process if you're worried about unemployment rates going up. Now, the process of firing themselves in the room. Matt, you had a little checklist here.
Yeah. So, those are the things you want to do with that specific employee. So with the problem employee that's, you can tell is going down the wrong path, you're documenting where they're deficient, the problems in their work, you're putting it in writing, you've got a witness, maybe it's another supervisor or office manager or partner or whoever it may be in your business. So you've got a witness. But you also need to think of some of the business impacts in making this change. Who's going to do their job when you fire them tomorrow? Do you know what their tasks are? Do you have access to their computer and their information or their contacts or, the things that they're doing in your business? Do they have property of the company? You want to get that back. Do you need someone to be trained on what this person's doing? How can you do that? Is there someone else that can help? So you want to think through the business things also during this process and make sure that when that person's out the door that you've given them that, you're fired, which isn't fun. Donald Trump makes it look fun on TV, but let's be honest, it's so tough. It's hard. Even when someone deserves it, it's hard. So,
when I fired my first employee, Matt, I was more emotional and I teared up before he did. He's like, dude, he was consoling me at the end. He's like, it's okay, Mark. It's okay. It's not a good fit. I'm like, oh, thank you. Oh my gosh. All right. And then I'm ushering him out. It was so funny. I'm not kidding. I was more emotional firing my first employee. I hated that. Ugh.
Well, I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah.
So I think that's the process. Now, you do have some obligations in terms of paying them, all right? So it's best if you can, in most states, some states have a more specific requirement, but the thing that works in all states is pay them immediately. Get the last amount you owe them, including the day you're firing them, ready on a check, and just give it to them right there. Say, you're done. Here's your final paycheck later, And, get whatever again if they have access to things or passwords you need or property. Make sure you're getting that back. But you don't wait for your next payroll. In some states, that's okay. Some states, it's not. Like, I believe California, you have to pay them, within 24, 48 hours, something like that. So you want to be careful about that. Also know in your state, do you need to pay out their vacation or sick time? Okay. Different states have different policies on that. If they have accrued vacation time that they haven't used in California, for example, you have to pay that out. Most states, you don't, though. So make sure you understand that those different issues on paying out for your specific state.
Yeah. Oh, good stuff. And I think one last thing I would just add to that is making sure you're in contact with your IT people, again, with passwords and forwarding emails and all those little technical things. Many of you out there that are already going through this process, you know what we're talking about. But have a procedure, have a process. Have it reviewed on a regular basis with your attorney. Here's what we go through. Here's my employee handbook. Here's the hatting we're giving people. Here's our procedure. Here's our write-up procedure. All those things are important things to have just kind of a legal review of on a regular basis. So, wow, kind of a tough topic. It was a long podcast, but lots of important stuff. I hope you people have waded through this and enjoyed it. I mean, oh my gosh, we love you. This is one of my favorite times of the week. I just like being here with my partner, Matt Sorensen.
I slap
you on the butt.
Yeah, just quit telling people about that, okay? That was a private moment.
That's what they all say.
Yeah.
Don't tell anyone.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, everyone, for being on and listening to the show today. And it was a tough topic. I mean, but it's been in the news. It's really important. We know everybody that's out there trying to live the American dream, building your business. You've got to know these things. And hopefully you found that helpful. If you do like this show, of course, we want to give you extra incentive to give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Remember, Mark or I will give you a free copy of one of our books, my book, The Self-Directed IRA Handbook. or Mark's newest book, The Business Owner's Guide to Financial Freedom. And just send us an email letting us know you gave a 5-star review on iTunes, and let us know your address and the book you choose, and we will ship it out to you free of charge.
Thanks, everyone. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.